I'm honored to be here. Good morning, everybody. What a pleasure to be at Mount Zion. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time, been praying about it. You've been praying about it, working hard for it. And I really want this to be the best gospel meeting, the best gospel revival in the history of this good church. Now, this church goes back a good number of years, right? And we'd have to really, really pray hard and work hard for it to be the best gospel meeting, but I'm really honored to be here. Now, I want you to do something that may be the most important thing you've ever done since you've been attending church. I want you to answer with me 6 soul-searching questions. Would you do that? Get into your heart, your life, your soul, and answer with me 6 soul-searching questions. The questions that I'm talking about will be handed to you right now. Everybody needs one, every man, woman, boy, and girl. You might want to go ahead and find something to write with, a pencil or a pen. Okay, let's start at number 1 here. Have you ever made a commitment to Christ? Have you ever accepted Jesus as your Savior, surrendered to Jesus as Lord? If you have, circle yes. If you have not, circle no. If you answer no, the rest of these questions 2 through 6, do not apply to you. But if you answer yes, how old were you when you made a commitment to Christ? Do you remember your age? Were you 12 or 15 or 19 or 34, put that in the blank. How old were you when you made your commitment to Christ? When you became a Christian? That's number 1. You ready for number 2? Did you make a confession at the time of your commitment? Do you remember saying anything? Did you confess your sins? Did you confess your faith in Christ? If you did, circle yes. If you did not, circle no. And if you answered yes, what did you confess? Put that in the blank in your own words. What did you confess? Very important question, question number 3. Have you been baptized? Have you ever been baptized? If you have, circle yes. If you have not, circle no. And if you answer no, I've never been baptized, the rest of these questions 4, 5, and 6, do not apply to you. But if you have been baptized, tell me, how were you baptized? Was water sprinkled upon you? Were you immersed, dunked, buried in water? Put that in the blank. Question number 4, how long after your commitment were you baptized? You made a commitment to Christ. How long was it until you were baptized? Were you baptized the same day, the next day, a week later, a month later? Put that on the card. Number 5 is a very important question. You say, Keith, I've been baptized. That's wonderful. Why? Why'd you do that? Why were you baptized? Put that in the blank in your own words. And then number 6, will you say before or after your baptism? If you believe that you were saved before you were baptized, circle that. If you believe that you were saved after, or maybe I should say at the point of your baptism, circle that. Now, everybody do this. Take your card and just kind of fold it, okay? Hide your answer. Don't let anybody see them. This is a very personal thing. It's between you and the Lord. And then would you open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 16. It's the second book of God's new Bible, Matthew, Mark. There's the book. And we're going to chapter 16. Now, I mentioned Mark 16, class. What do you think of? Mark 16. What's Mark 16 all about? Well, it is part of it. It's the great charge, the great commission. Mark 16 is the resurrection chapter. Jesus has died upon the cross. He's been buried. He's been raised from the dead. And we read about the resurrection here in Mark chapter 16. Well, I want you to notice some of the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended into heaven, okay? Some of the last words that Jesus spoke while he lived on earth. We're going to Mark 16 and look to verse 15. We call it the Great Charge, the Great Commission. By the way, do you realize that the Great Commission can be found in all 4 gospel accounts? It's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know that, don't you? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then Luke's account of the Great Commission, Luke 24, verse 47. Jesus said that repentance, a change, and forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, should be preached in his name among all nations, starting in Jerusalem. That's Luke 24, verse 47. And then John's account of the Great Commission, John 20, verse 21. Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, I've been sent, even so send I you. So, we call it the Great Charge of the Great Commission. Mark 16, look to verse 15. Verse 15. Jesus said unto them, the disciples, here's what he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, every creature. And then he said, anybody, he, whosoever, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now, audience, there are three words from Mark 16 that I want you to notice with me, okay? Mark 16, first of all, I want you to notice this word. It's the word believes. Jesus said, anybody, whosoever, he that believes, question, believes what? Talk to him. This is class. That means you can talk. Believes what? That he's God's son. Okay, we've got to believe that he's God's son. John 8, verse 24, Jesus said, except you believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. So we've got to believe it, that he is the son of God. Any other answers to the question, believe what? He that believes. Okay, we've got to believe the word of God.
We've got to believe anything that he said.
You've got to believe what he said. If you look back to verse 15, I think you'll find the answer to the question, okay? The answer to the question is in verse 15. Jesus said, go into all the world. Hey, go to El Salvador and go next door, right? Go into all the world. Go to El Salvador and go next door. Go into all the world and preach. What did your Bible say? Preach what? What do we usually call this week? I mean, here I am, I'm a guest preacher, and I'm in town, and I'm going to be preaching for a few days. We call this a what? We call it a gospel meeting, right? We call this thing a gospel meeting. Now, in gospel meetings, from time to time, we ought to preach the gospel. Would you agree with that? I mean, we call it a gospel meeting. What's the gospel? It is good news, right? Now, sometimes we preach today. We preach it as though it's bad news. Have you noticed? I mean, sometimes we preachers can get up, we get fired up, we come down hard, and we rip, and we stomp, and we scream, and we holler, and we say, you bunch of sinners! And sometimes we preach it, so it's right, it's bad. But it's not bad news, it's good news. When Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not embarrassed, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, you know what he's saying? I'm not ashamed of the good news. And when Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said the same, go into all the world and preach the good news. It really is the good news. What is the good news? You say, well, it's the Bible, particularly. You know, there's some bad news in the Bible. Do you know that? There's some bad news in the Bible. What is this good news that we're going to be talking about?
Jesus came to die for our sins.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, wherein ye have received, and you're saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. What are you talking about, Paul? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, he said, I delivered to you first of all, the first importance, at the top of this. I mean, this is the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing, the main thing. What's the main thing? He tells us, I delivered to you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the heart of the gospel is the fact that Jesus left heaven and came to the earth so that I could go to heaven. Why? What's your name? Adams. Jesus left heaven and he came to this earth to die for you. And to be buried for you. And to be raised for you. And that is, I believe, that if you were the only sinner living, you are a sinner, aren't you? Okay. We all are. Romans 3, verse 23, all the sinners come short of the glory of God. That means Alex and Keith, okay? Alex is a sinner, I'm a sinner. I believe, Alex, if you were the only sinner living, Jesus would have died for you. He would have been buried for you. He would have been raised for you. Who would you die for, Alex? Would you die for me? He's not too sure. Take a lot of love to die for somebody, wouldn't it? In fact, Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Take a lot of love to die for somebody. And yet Jesus loved me enough to die for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's the good news. That's the gospel. And Jesus said, now, I want you to go into all the world and preach it. Preach this good news. Preach the fact that I left heaven and came to the earth so that people could be saved. Preach the fact that I died upon the cross and I was buried and I was raised. The tomb is empty. He was raised on that first day. Preach the gospel to everybody. And then he said, he that believes what? Well, obviously, he's talking about this good news, right? So, yes, we've got to believe in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. John 8, verse 24. But specifically in Mark 16, Jesus is saying, we've got to believe this good news. The fact that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised. Now, the second word that I want you to notice from Mark 16 is this one. It's the word baptized. Jesus said, he that believes him is baptized. Question, what's that mean, baptized? Have you been baptized? Oh, you have been baptized. What happened to you? Baptized. What's your name, sweetie?
Alex.
Alex, you can't focus. Names start with the same letter. I've got a name that starts with the same letter. Alan is my first name. Alan. So Alex, Alan, Alan. Baptized. What does that mean? Alan. Have a clue? Baptized. I'm sorry. Okay, that's part of being saved. Baptized. Somebody says, oh, I remember my baptism. I was a little kid, but I had water poured on my body. That was my baptism. Somebody says, I don't remember a lot of that, but when I was 3 years old, I'm told that water was sprinkled upon me. I've been baptized. Have you been baptized? Well, I don't remember a lot of that, but water was sprinkled on my body. That was my baptism. And you know, there are a lot of good folks, honest folks, sincere people, who look at baptism as a sprinkling or a pouring, right? You know people like that, don't you? Water was administered to the body. What does the Bible say to that? Let me tell you what the Bible says to that, okay? In John 3, verse 23, John was baptizing in Enon near Salem. Do you remember why?
Much water.
There was a lot of water there. John the Baptist, he wasn't a Baptist in the sense he was a member of the Baptist church. He was a baptizer. He was called John the Baptizer, the Baptist. He was baptized in Enon near Salem because there was a lot of water there, right? John 3, verse 23. And then I think about the story in Acts chapter 8. There's a story in Acts chapter 8 about a fellow by the name of Philip. Philip is a Christian, and he meets a guy. We don't know his name. He's from Ethiopia. We call him the Ethiopian eunuch. He's a guy who's not able to have kids, okay? So he's called the Ethiopian eunuch, and the guy from Ethiopia is reading the Bible. He's reading about Jesus from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53. But he doesn't really understand. So Philip, the preacher, goes to him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, not really. I need somebody to teach me. And so Philip begins in Isaiah 53, he preaches to him about Jesus. And as they were on their way, they came to a certain water. And the guy from Ethiopia, after learning about Jesus, said, look, Philip, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? You remember the story, don't you? They stopped that chariot, they went down to the water, the preacher in the center, and the preacher, Philip, baptized him, and Scripture says, Acts 8, 39, when they were coming up out of the water. See, that's really what baptism is. It's going down to the water, and it's a coming up out of the water. And then I think about what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we are buried, not sprinkled. Therefore we are buried, not poured. Therefore we are buried with him in baptism. And that's really what baptism is. It's a burial in water. It's an immersion in water. Just like Jesus' body was buried in a tomb, a cut-out rock tomb, a bar tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, a sinner is buried with him in baptism. He's immersed. He's dunked. That's how we say it in the country. I grew up in the country. That's how we used to say it. We've been dunked. We were baptized, right? So Jesus said, if you like to believe, get baptized. Now, the third word that I want you to notice is this one. And it's the word saved. Saved. What does that mean, saved? Are you saved? What does it mean, saved? Well, the Bible uses the word saved in at least three different ways. Count them, at least three different ways. Sometimes the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to physical salvation. Saved from a storm, saved from a fire, saved from an earthquake. Let me give you a case in point. Do you remember Noah and his family? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's talking about Noah and the family. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. He's talking about an ark. We're in few, that is in that ark. We're in few, that is eight souls. You remember there were Noah and his wife and the three sons and their wives. Eight people were saved. There's the word. They were saved by what, right? Peter says they were saved. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about physical salvation. I mean, everybody else died in that flood, but Noah and his family were saved in that boat. And sometimes the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to physical salvation. Salvation from a flood, a storm. That's not what Jesus is saying in Mark 16:16. He is not saying anybody who believes and is baptized shall be saved physically. If you don't believe it, just take a look at all the Christians who have died. I mean, there have been lots of people who have trusted in Jesus and they have been immersed into Jesus. They've been baptized. But we look around, where are they? Well, their pews are empty. They're not here because they've gone on. They've gone on to the next world. They died. Their lives were not spared. So we're not talking about physical salvation. Even good, godly folks, even Christians, died. But in the second place, sometimes the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to the eternal salvation. Saved in heaven, saved now and forevermore. Saved without the possibility of being lost. Let me give you a case in point. In Revelation 21, I mentioned that chapter. What do you think of? Do you remember the chapter? Yes, on heaven. Revelation 21 is on heaven. Good Bible student. Will, right? Will's a Bible student. Revelation 21, the entire chapter is on heaven. And John says in Revelation 21 in verse 24, at least in my mother's Bible. When I say my mother's Bible, you know what Bible I'm talking about, don't you? Old King James Version. Yeah, I grew up on that thing. In Revelation 21 in verse 24, John said, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of death. In other words, they're in heaven. These people are in heaven, and they're saved in heaven, and they're walking in the light of heaven. They're saved now and forevermore. They're saved without the possibility of being lost. They're in heaven, and they're not going to go to hell. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about in Mark 16:16. He's not saying anybody that believes and is baptized shall be saved eternally without the possibility of being lost. And if you don't believe that, just take a look at all the Christians who have backslidden. I mean, there have been people who have trusted in Jesus and they have been baptized into Christ. But we look around and again, they're busy, not because they've died physically, but they've just lost interest in the Lord. They've fallen back into a life of sin. And if they were to die, they wouldn't go to heaven. They'd go to another place. So we're not talking about eternal salvation, locked in, saved now and forevermore saved without the possibility of being lost. No, people can become Christians. They can be baptized and even turn their backs on the Lord. Just kind of like Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2 about the dog going back to the vomit and the pig going back to the mud, right? But in the third place, sometimes this word saved, see, I've given you two ways it's used in the Bible. Physical salvation, eternal salvation. But in the third place, sometimes the word saved is used in the Bible in reference to salvation from past sins. Forgiveness of past sins. Let me give you a case in point. Ephesians 2 verse 5. What does it say? For by grace are you saved. You say, Keith, is that verse 5? It is verse 5. Verse 8 says the very same thing. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Twice Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you what? Saved. Saved from what? Well, in Ephesians 2 verse 1, Paul said, and you had to be quickened, you had to be made alive, you had to be forgiven, you had to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. They were dead in sin, but Paul says you've been saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. And I really believe that's what Jesus is saying in Mark 16:16. He is saying, look, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be forgiven? Do you want to start again? Do you want to have a clean slate? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be forgiven? He is saying, look, anybody that believes, word one, and is baptized, word two, shall be saved, word three. Let me tell you something, folks. It feels good to be saved. I know in churches of Christ, we don't like to talk about feeling good, do we? That sounds too denominational. It sounds too Pentecostal. Oh, I'm telling you, it feels good to be saved. And if you're saved and going to heaven, notify your face, would you? Put a smile on your face and a song in your heart and a leap in your step.
Amen.
I mean, you're God's people. You're forgiven. God has taken your sins and let go. He's forgiven you. It feels good to be saved. I think of that Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian. When he was baptized, what happened? He went on his way. What? Rejoicing. Yeah, that's what the Mother Bible says, David. I like the translation. He went on his way feeling good. It feels good to be saved. And Jesus said, anybody that believes in his baptism shall be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Now, I want to give you a statement that is similar to that statement, okay? A statement that is parallel to that statement. A statement that you can identify with this statement, okay? First of all, consider the word comes. Comes. And the word fed. Fed. And the word filled. Filled. Got two questions, two very important questions. Question number one, what time do we need in this class?
Quarter to two.
Okay, we've got about 15 minutes. Very good. The second most important question is, are we having lunch together today? I know we are. I'm excited about that. Are you excited about lunch? That's why Will came home. He didn't come home to hear me preach. He came home for lunch. Man, I can just kind of smell the food back there, right? Suppose I got up here today and I said, now folks, anybody that comes and is fed shall be filled. If that's a true statement, let's just say that's a true statement, okay? If that's a true statement, question. What do you have to do to be filled?
You have to be filled.
Take your time. You got to come. You got to come, right? Anybody that comes and is fed shall be filled, right? I mean, if that's a true statement, you have to come and you have to be fed, right? In order to be filled. And some of you are sitting there thinking, what's he talking about? This doesn't make any sense to me. And I knew it would take two statements for somebody, so I prepared to, okay? First of all, I want you to consider the word cause. Cause. And the word grab, grab. And the word rescue, rescue. What is the river that we're close to right out here? Is this Garen River?
Garen.
Garen River. Can you drown on Garen River? I guess you can, huh? Okay. Let's say you're on Barren River. You're in a canoe. You can't swim. You're out fishing. The canoe turns over. You can't swim. And I said to you before you went out, anybody that calls and is grabbed shall be rescued. You're in the canoe. The canoe goes over. You can't swim. You're in the middle of the lake or in the middle of the river out there. What? If that's a true statement, if that is a true statement, what do you have to do to be rescued? Yeah, you, hey, I'm drowning. You'd have to call, right? Somebody, you know, you'd have to call. And then somebody would have to grab you, right? I mean, if that's a true statement, anybody calls and grabs you to rescue. You'd have to, hey, boat's over, can't swim. You'd have to call out. And then somebody would have to grab you, right? If that's a true statement. If I said to you, anybody that comes and stands should be killed. We're having lunch today. Anybody that comes and stands should be killed. If that's a true statement, what do you have to do to be filled? Well, you'd have to come and you'd have to be fed. Jesus walks in here. And we say, Jesus, so good to see you. Thank you for coming. But we're confused, Lord, about this thing called salvation. We just don't understand it. You know, one church teaches this, another church teaches that. I see a preacher on TV preaching this, another preacher on TV preaching that. Lord, I'm so confused. Lord, tell us, what must I do to be saved? I'm lost. And I want to be lost. I want to be saved. So, Lord, tell me, what must I do to be saved? And suppose Jesus got up here and Jesus said, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Thank you, Lord. It is pretty simple. Anybody that believes and is baptized should be saved. Now, I want you to check out the last part of verse 16. Somebody read the last part of verse 16 from your Bible. Just the last part. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized should be saved, but...
he who is disbelieved should be condemned.
Somebody that disbelieves, somebody that does not believe, shall be condemned or damned, right? A person might say, Keith, if baptism is all that important, why did Jesus say what he said in the last part of verse 16? Somebody says, you know, baptism is all that necessary. Why didn't Jesus say, he that believes not and is baptized not? All he said is, he that disbelieves shall be condemned. Why didn't he say, he that disbelieves and is not baptized? You ever heard anybody say that? You know, baptism is all that important. Why did Jesus say what he said in the last part of verse 16? Why did he say, he that believes not and is baptized not? Good question. And I think the answer to the question is very simple. He didn't have to. See, if I said to you, anybody that comes and is fed shall be filled, I would not have to say, okay, if you don't come, and if you're not fed, you won't be filled. Because it's obvious, if you don't come to the dinner table, you will not be fed in our situation. If I said to you, he that calls and is grabbed should be rescued, I would not have to say, okay, folks, if you don't call and if you're not grabbed, you won't be rescued. Because it's obvious, if a man doesn't call, hey, I'm drowning, I'm dying, help me. If you don't call, nobody's going to grab you. Well, Jesus Christ said, anybody who believes and is baptized should be saved. He didn't have to say, okay, if you don't believe and if you're not baptized, you won't be saved. Because it's obvious if a man doesn't believe in the heart, if he doesn't believe in his soul, he's not going to go through the foolishness of being dunked in water. He's not going to be baptized. See, it all starts with faith. You've got to have faith. And if you don't have faith, it doesn't really matter from then on. So he didn't have to say, he that believes not and is baptized not shall be dead. Now, I want you to check it out in your own Bible, okay? You see these three words in your Bible? Are they in there in some fashion? Believes, baptized, saved. Let me ask you this. What if I came and I taught this? Can you see it if I do this? What if I came and I taught you? You're saved even before you believe in Jesus. What would you say about that? I got up here this week and I said, you know, people are really saved even before they believe in Jesus. True or false? Say, Keith, that's not what the Bible teaches. By the way, do you realize that it's not a hypothetical illustration? There are good people, sincere people, church-going people that teach it like this. They call it predestination. You ever heard of that word? Predestined. God has chosen you beforehand. By the way, the Bible teaches predestination. Just read the book of Ephesians. But there are some people that teach it like this. Addicts, you're saved. And sir, you're lost. Somebody has to be lost in an illustration. So you're lost and you're saved. You're lost and you're saved. And you're lost and you're saved. You know, if you're saved, if you've been chosen by God, if you've been predestined, you're really saved even before you enter into the world. God has chosen you even before you do anything at all. And in effect, they say that a sinner is saved even before he believes. He's been chosen by God the moment he enters into the world. He's God's elect. You say, Keith, that's not what Jesus said. That's not in my Bible. And you're right. See, Jesus did not teach it like that, did he? There are some people that teach it like this. That's not what Jesus taught. Let me ask you another question. What if I came and I taught you this? You believe in Jesus, accept Jesus into your heart. Ask Jesus into your soul. And then at that moment, you're saved. You just ask Jesus to be your Savior, and you're saved. Now, you ought to be baptized. Maybe a week later, a month later, sometime later, you ought to be baptized. Baptism is a good thing. But you're really saved even when you believe in Jesus. Some time ago, I studied the Bible with a lady by the name of Barbara. Barbara was a friend. I said, Barbara, have you ever made a commitment to Christ? She said, oh, yeah, I made a commitment to Christ when I was 12 years old. I said, oh, made a commitment to Christ when you were 12? She said, yeah, I asked Jesus in my heart. I believed in Jesus when I was 12 years old. And Barbara said, that's when I was saved. I was saved when I was 12. I said, Barbara, have you ever been baptized? She said, oh, yeah, I was baptized when I was 25, 13 years later. But I was saved back when I was 12 years old when I asked Jesus to come into my heart. You ever heard anybody say something like that? You know, I was saved because I believed in Jesus and I accepted Him as my Savior. I said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me. And Barbara said, I was saved when I was 12 and I was baptized when I was 25. What if I got up here this morning and I said, Keith, or I said, guys, believe in Jesus and bingo, you're saved. And, you know, baptism can come later. You say, well, that's really not in my Bible. You know, Jesus didn't say it like that, but the order's not that important. As long as I've done it, I mean, I've been baptized. The order's not that important. Oh, the order's not that important. Let me just do it like this, okay? If the order's not that important, I tell you what let's do. Let's just put baptism first. Let's put baptism before faith. And you know, this is not a hypothetical illustration. Do you realize that there are good people, sincere people, church-going people that teach it like this? They get these little infants, these little babies, these children that have no clue. They don't believe. But they go through a form of baptism. They sprinkle these little children. They baptize them. And then if they grow up to believe in Jesus, everything's okay. See, this is not a hypothetical illustration. There are people that do it like this. You say, but Keith, this is not in my Bible. Jesus didn't say you start with baptism, and you're right. But let me challenge you with this thought. Neither did Jesus say, he that believes is saved, that he can be baptized. See, that's not in there either. Let me tell you what I know to be the truth, folks. Here's what I know to be the truth. Jesus said, anybody that believes the gospel, anybody that believes, has faith, a faith that leads to being baptized. If you believe and if you're baptized, Jesus said you will be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple. Now, I want you to go back to the card that you filled out a few minutes ago. Just kind of get that card. Look at it. Number one, have you ever made a commitment to Christ? Let me tell you what most of you said. Most of you said, I have. That's wonderful. I'm glad you made a commitment to Christ. I'm glad you're a Christian. For time's sake, just go down to number three. Look down to number three. Have you been baptized? Let me tell you what most of you said. Most of you said, yes, I've been baptized. Maybe 90% of it. That's wonderful. Glad you've been baptized. Let me tell you what a few of you said. No, I've not been baptized. I'm glad you're in this Bible class. We're glad you're here today. And who knows, today may be the day. We want you to become a Christian today. Not tomorrow, not next Sunday, today. See, today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Beyond now is the second time. Now is the day of salvation. So, if you're not a baptized believer, you're a believer, you're in Bible class, but if you've not put that faith into action, hey, we want you to do that today, okay? Today will be a good day for you to become a Christian. You say, Keith, you're not talking to me because I've been baptized. No, you've been baptized. Go down to number five. Very important question. Why? Why did you do that? Why were you baptized? Were you baptized in order to be saved? Mark 16:16. Were you baptized for the forgiveness of sins? Acts 2:38. You know, Peter preached to those who actually killed Christ, change, repent, and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Why, Peter? For the remission. What does that mean, remission? Forgiveness, removal, for the removal of sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus, for the removal of sins. So were you baptized for the removal, for the forgiveness of sins? Were you baptized to get into Christ? Romans 6 and verse 3. Paul said, no, you're not, but you remember this. Many of us, as we're baptized into Christ, we have been baptized into His death. Were you baptized to get into Christ? Were you baptized to put on Christ? Galatians 3, 26 and 27. Paul said, you're all the children of God by faith, for as many of us as been baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. Were you baptized into Christ? And have you put on Christ? You say, Keith, I've been baptized. I'm glad you were baptized. But why? Why did you do that? Did you do it for the reason God wants you to do it? And then number six, a very important question. Were you saved before or after your baptism? You know, some people say, man, I was saved right here. Barbara, I was saved when I was 12, baptized when I was 25. And my question is, again, is that what Jesus taught? Well, Jesus didn't teach that. Jesus said, anybody who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Well, I don't know if this has been helpful to you or not, but maybe if you're a baptized believer, you can kind of get some of these words, put them on paper as you talk to people about the gospel. Don't ever tell a sinner what to do until you tell him what God has already done. See, talk about the gospel first. Talk about what God has already done. Talk about the cross. Talk about the love of God. Go into all the world and preach the good news. Talk the good news. And after you tell people what God has done, then you can tell people what to do. Okay? But after you talk to people about the gospel, then maybe you can get into what people need to do to be saved. And it's very, very simple. Now, questions, comments on any of this lesson? You understand it all? Pretty simple, isn't it? Kind of have to be a genius to mess it up. There are some geniuses out in the world. Or maybe it's the other extreme. I don't want to call them the other extreme. But there are some folks in the world that just don't get it. You know, they don't get it. So maybe this is strengthening your faith. Maybe you can take this lesson, share it with somebody. Maybe you needed this lesson. Maybe, you know, maybe you never become a Christian. And we want you to become a Christian. So I would say to you what Ananias said to Saul, Acts 22:16. Why do you wait? You say, Keith, I've never been baptized. Well, why do you wait? Get up, be baptized. Wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. Well, my watch says it's 15 till, and I'm about 2 minutes fast, so we've got about 2 minutes for questions or comments. Anything you've always wanted to ask a Church of Christ preacher but were afraid to ask? Not that I'm the Bible answer man, but maybe. Anything at all? Are we going to have a good week together?
Amen.
I think we will. I need you to be praying about it. I need you to pray for me, but pray for the lost. Pray for somebody to be saved this week. Wouldn't it be great if by Thursday or Friday this week we could look back and say, you know, there were 10 people to be saved? You think 10 people could be saved this week? I was preaching over in Tompkinsville, Kentucky, like 3 weeks ago. You know where Tompkinsville, Kentucky is? Monroe County, yeah. And I was over there a few weeks ago, and I asked those people to pray. Pray for the lost. Pray for people that need to be saved. Would it surprise you if I were to tell you that 8 souls were saved on fire? 8 people were baptized into Christ. Just a small little church. Maybe 100 or so. I can't remember exactly how many we had on Sunday morning. Maybe a little bit more than that. But 8 people were baptized. Many others came for prayer. So who knows what God's going to bring to the table this week. Maybe some people will obey Jesus. Maybe 8 people will be saved a lot. Kind of sounds biblical to me. 8 people will save a lot. So 8 people will baptize. Who knows? How many people will be baptized? How many will be saved this week? Come to be prayed for. But let's just pray about that, and then we'll close this Bible class. Let's pray. Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised. Father, we want to take this good news that Jesus took our place. We want to take this good news not only to parts of the world across the ocean. We want to take this good news to our neighbors and friends right here around us. Bless our week together. We're grateful to be at Mount Zion. And we just pray that some great things will happen today and this week. In Jesus' holy name.